From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. A major clash between Turkish forces and Kurdish fighters is developing on the northern Syria border with Turkey that could threaten to unravel progress on the Syrian war. Kurdish fighters that have paid a heavy price and been most effective in retaking control of Syria from the Islamic State are now facing a war from the ostensible U.S. ally, Turkey. Kurdish Syrian Democratic Forces in the northern Syrian province of Afrin in particular are facing a Turkish battlefront. Afrin is part of the Kurdish-controlled autonomous region in the north of Syria. Animosity from Turkey toward Kurdish population goes back a long time. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has been quite open about his desire to push all Kurds from northern Syria. He appeared on Turkish television saying, step by step, we will clean our entire border. My guest is Kani Zulam. He's the director of the American Kurdish Information Network. Welcome to the program, Kani.
Thanks for having me.
So first, let's actually get an update on what role the Kurdish fighters in northern Syria had played in liberating many areas from the Islamic State, and how much stability those fighters had returned to Syria as a whole.
Well, the Syrian Democratic Forces, the backbone of which are Kurds, have played a significant role in breaking the back of the Islamic State. Just recently, they took over the city of Raqqa, the capital. In that city alone, the Kurds and their Arab allies lost 650 of their sons and daughters. No American died in that battle. So the Kurds have paid a heavy price. And they're happy to have paid that price to be rid of this dark force, this evil force called Islamic State. But now they're being stabbed in the back by Turkey, a NATO ally, a friend of the United States, for the good they did to the world, for the world, for Syria.
So what exactly are Turkish forces doing at the northern Syria border? What sort of incursions have they made into Syria? And how have they, what have the attacks against the Kurdish dominated forces been so far?
13 days ago, they started attacking from seven different locations, this area called Afrin, this province, this oasis of peace. For the last 7 years, Syria has been a scene of war, and this corner of Syria miraculously wasn't affected by war. It thought it survived war with the demise of Islamic State. It thought it would be part of a new Syria, but the Turkish ruling circles inside Turkey just couldn't put up with the idea of Kurds gaining equal rights inside Syria. So they found an excuse when on January 14, the United States government said that they are going to establish a border protection force in the northern part of Syria to block the reemergence of Islamic State. And Turkey went ballistic over hearing that news and made preparations to attack Afrin on January 20, 2018. Mm-hmm.
So just to summarize, here you have a situation where Syria had been besieged by a war from various perpetrators, and in various ways it's been a very, very complex war. But on that aspect of the war that involved the Islamic State, Kurdish fighters have been the most effective at liberating the areas from the control of the Islamic State, only now to find that the power that they gained, or, you know, in just liberating those areas, is being undermined by a U.S. ally. So the U.S. role is really interesting here. Presumably the Kurdish fighters have been fighting with the support of the United States against the Islamic State. Now the U.S. ally, Turkey, is attacking them. Although, of course, U.S.-Turkey relations have deteriorated quite a bit over several years. So what role is the U.S. playing over these past 2 weeks or so? Is it simply standing by and watching Turkey do this?
Unfortunately, so far, it has allowed Turkey to pound the region from the air, as well as with the artillery fire. as well as with the support of jihadi groups that are supported by Turkey, called Free Syrian Army. And the other unfortunate thing that happened is that this area, which is the western part of Euphrates, falls under the Russian sphere of influence. And Moscow, for reasons that we cannot fathom as Kurds, allows Turkey to bomb this area from the Turkey proper. And so the war, as I said, has been going on for the last 13 days. According to World Health Organization, some 87 people, children, civilians have been killed. But yesterday I listened to the Afrin Hospital director's press conference saying that 134 civilians had been killed and 167 civilians had been injured. And thousands of people are moving into the city center to avoid being shelled by Turkish artillery fire as well as Turkish fighter jets.
Now, this is something that we're just not hearing much about in the United States, but with its attack, isn't Turkey violating Syria's borders?
Well, Turkey is not just violating Syria's borders. Airspace is actually committing a war crime. This area, Afrin, has never been a threat to Turkey, has never attacked Turkey. So this area, you know, everybody is sick and tired of this war in Syria. Thousands and thousands of people have lost their lives, 500,000 people. Close to 1 million refugees last year or the year before went to Europe, went to primarily Germany. And half of the population of Syria has been internally displaced. 4 million have left, you know, there are in country, neighboring countries. So people were hoping that, you know, this war would come to an end. And now Turkey is generating new refugees, is committing a crime, is basically, you know, punishing Kurds for destroying ISIS. You know, this is something that the West should be alarmed about. This is not something that the West should can afford to just turn its back to.
What is Turkey claiming the problem is? If there has not been a historic attack on Turkey from Kurdish regions in northern Syria, is Turkey manufacturing a threat to justify the so-called cleaning of the border, in President Erdogan's words?
Unfortunately, it is manufacturing a war. It is manufacturing consent, to borrow from Noam Chomsky. A phrase inside Turkey. For example, the seven areas that Turkey has entered, Afrin, now, you know, they're saying that, well, from these areas, I mean, from Afrin, we're being bombed. Kurdish leaders are saying, we have not bombed Turkey. We don't want to bomb Turkey. We want to have a peaceful relationship with Turkey. But there are observers who are saying that, you know, Turkey is bombing its own populations in Reyhanlı, in Kilis, to generate, you know, public opinion for the war. It's not a popular war. You know, 11 doctors have been put to jail, in jail in Turkey. Over 300 journalists and Twitter users have been put in jail for expressing views against this war. It's Erdogan and his dream of, you know, crushing the Kurds. But the Kurds are 40 million people living in the Middle East. And in Turkey itself, there are close to 20, 25 million Kurds living in Turkey. And Erdogan is not on peaceful terms with them. And now thinks that because the Kurds in Syria may gain an autonomous region or may have some political rights, is very afraid that that will be a beacon of light for the rest of the Kurds in Turkey. And Kurds will demand more. And he's just losing sleep over that.
What is the historic relationship between Turkey and Kurdish forces, Kurdish movements? Can you explain to those among our audience who have not heard of this history or don't really understand where this animosity is coming from?
The Kurds are the natives of the Middle East. Our lands were partitioned at the end of First World War among four countries, primarily Turkey, Syria, Iraq, and Iran. For the last 100 years, we've been struggling for our basic human rights, for our political rights. We want to preserve our language. We want to preserve our culture. We want to be able to name our kids Kurdish names. It's illegal in Turkey to have a Kurdish preschool. It's illegal in Turkey to have, you know, Kurdish television where Kurds are in charge of it. There is one television station in Turkey, but Turks are in charge of it. They are, for example, now saying that in Kurdish, this war is a holy war, it's a good war, and we need to support Turkish troops fighting in Afrin. You know, imagine this is like in Kurdish saying attack Kurds. It just boggles the mind. So we are basically a colony of Turkey, and we are trying to free ourselves of Turks. And some Kurds want, you know, independent country. Some want political space without changing the borders. The Kurdish leadership inside Turkey, there's an armed PKK in the mountains, and then there's also the political wing, the nonviolent Kurdish party called HDP. Over 100 Kurdish mayors run Kurdish cities, and about 80 of them have been thrown into prison. A dozen Kurdish parliamentarians are now in Turkish jails. So this is a problem that goes back to the First World War, and it has to do with the right of Kurds, the desire of the Kurds for political space, not just in Syria, but also in Turkey, but also in Iraq, but also in Iran.
Right. It's several countries that have had this history with the Kurdish desire for self-determination. And that area in northern Syria that Afrin is part of, how much of a threat does that represent to a country like Turkey? Simply, and I say threat in quotes, because from what I understand, and we've covered this on our show before, there is a very vibrant and democratic autonomous space in northern Syria controlled by Kurds that is self-sufficient relatively and is kind of showing the rest of the Middle East what Kurds are capable of.
It is a beacon of light if you compare it with the rest of the Middle East. You know, there is women are free to, you know, run for public office. They're actually, you know, mandated by the gender equality is almost the law of the land, if you will. There's autonomous radical democratic experiment where communities choose their own leaders. Afrin itself, it used to have 300,000 people before the civil war started in Syria, but many Kurds and many Arabs fled, you know, the war zones, and now the population has reached 800,000 people. And
of which how many are Kurds?
Majority are Kurds, maybe like 60%. And there are Armenians, and then there are Yazidis, and then there are Syrians.
So a lot of the sort of persecuted groups that Islamic State, it was targeted.
That's right. And now Turkey has basically recruited the jihadi groups, and many of these groups are very afraid that what happened to Yazidis on Mount Sinjar could now happen inside Afrin, because Turkey is making use of these jihadi groups to liberate, quote unquote, to liberate this area from the Kurds. And the Kurds, you know, are not a threat to Turkey. It's like, imagine people considering Mexico a threat to the United States. But this area itself is, you know, 800,000 people, and they would rather, they have wanted to stay out of the war, but unfortunately war came to them on January 20, 2018. Hmm.
So what political price is Turkey paying, if any, for what it's doing in northern Syria? If the United States, as we mentioned earlier, is simply standing by and allowing this to happen, are European allies speaking out? Is the United Nations issuing any kind of response?
You know, the German government took a measure to stop the sale of Leopold tanks to Turkey. President Trump, to his credit, called President Erdogan to de-escalate. But the Kurds themselves are saying de-escalation is not enough. You know, this is a blatant attack. This is a premeditated attack that the Kurds themselves are asking for no-fly zone, where the Turks wouldn't be able to fly and bomb innocent civilians, sleeping in their homes or working at their workplaces. This is the Kurdish demand as we speak. But Turkey so far has been given the green light. the Security Council hasn't done anything. And unfortunately, there are casualties. There are demonstrations in Europe, in Canada, in America. Kurds are have taken to the streets, are demanding that the, for all the suffering that they went through, for all the blood that they shed to destroy ISIS, the world owes them something. And the least they want is, security in their own homes.
So what are you calling on to happen right now? Could the U.S. be the force to hold Turkey accountable? We're not talking about, of course, the U.S. Fighting Turkey back on a violent term, but the U.S. has political leverage against Turkey, or does it?
Well, Turkey, U.S. should come out and categorically condemn this blatant attack on this defenseless population that has nothing to do with this war. You know, this is an ugly precedent. If anything, the Kurds should be, supported and should be praised for what they did against Islamic State. What the United States can do is to condemn this, and then if Turkey doesn't want to listen to that, then to support the Kurds. You know, when in Kobani in 2014, when Kurds were besieged by Islamic State, U.S. on October 19, 2014, provided them close air support, and beginning on October 20, 2014, things changed. And it was the beginning of the end of the Islamic State as we know it. It took 2 years, of course, 3 years, but Islamic State no longer exists, no longer controls territory. And the Kurds want, even if U.S. Is not going to fight Turkey, it should condemn this attack, one. And if Turkey still doesn't want to listen, then Turkey should be kicked out of NATO, because this is instigating war on NATO's watch, if you will. And then on top of, a third option would be for U.S. to support the Kurdish resistance. U.S. has the means to give Kurds a helping hand to stop this war.
Connie, is there anything to the timing of the Turkish attack? The fact that this is coming just months after many are declaring the Islamic State's hold over Syria, essentially over?
There is some internal things that are going on inside Turkey that have kind of forced Erdogan to undertake this international venture. His popularity is going down. Erdogan has close to 60,000 political prisoners in Turkish jails. After the military coup, he just basically started putting people in jail, the people that he didn't like. Over 150,000 people, civil servants, have been given pink slips. Turkey is now number one jailer of journalists. It has surpassed Iran, it has surpassed Egypt, it has surpassed China. And then there are elections coming up in 2019, and Erdogan, has been accused of siphoning a lot of money, especially his cabinet members, including himself. And he's afraid that if he loses election, he might account for the money that he has stolen from the treasury and for the crimes that he has committed. So he wants to stay in power. He has changed the constitution. He has had a referendum. It barely passed by 51%. And he wants to stay in power, until 2000, if possible, 2033. And so he's been in power since 2002. And so this is his dilemma, if you will. He wants to hold on to the chair of the state, so that he would not be accountable for the crimes that he has initiated.
And I'm sure, as is the case in the United States, where presidents that start new wars find that they have a better chance of re-election, that might be the same situation in Turkey as well, in many other countries, where if you launch a war, you can rally support and nationalist feelings, right?
He has raised the nationalistic rhetoric inside Turkey. Now he basically, for example, there's a member of Turkish parliament whose name was written on a rocket that was fired into Afrin So jingoism has taken over. Members of the his administration, their names are written on rockets and are fired into Afrin region. And you know, this is the celebration of war, if you will, at the highest levels of the government. And you know, these rockets are fired into population centers where these people would have not done anything against Turkey. They simply would like to live in peace. They don't want to be refugees in Europe. They don't want to, you know, cross the Mediterranean. But this is what's happening to them. You know, they escaped the war for 8 years, but unfortunately, at the tail end of this civil war, it looks like they're getting bombarded by a country like NATO member Turkey.
Well, Kani, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Is there a website for the American Kurdish Information Network you'd like to give out?
Kurdistan.org.
We'll post a link to that from our website later today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
My guest has been Kani Zolam, director of the American Kurdish Information Network, and we've been discussing how Turkey is attacking Kurdish regions in northern Syria. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find out more about us at Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.